Second reading to the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 6. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them. And the grizzled go forth toward the south country, and the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, and walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then he cried upon me and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crowns shall be to Helem, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are afar off shall come, and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Two visions again in a chapter, a little bit confusing. There are certain things, you know, it is interesting, isn't it? Just going to speak a little bit freely with you here for a moment. When you're reading along in several different commentaries on prophecies such as this, there are a number of elements in visions like this. A number of elements. And the hard part of hermeneutics, the hard duty of hermeneutics in sections of Scripture like this, is to learn which of those things are essential to the message of the vision, and which are incidental to the message of the vision. And the difference that you have between commentators is often exactly that difference. Certain artifacts in the vision are emphasized, and the interpretation goes this way. Or, in another interpreter, certain other artifacts are emphasized, and the interpretation goes that way. And that really is the difference. This is why godly men can differ on prophecies or visions such as these, because we might focus on the wrong thing. Having said that, I proceed with trepidation. It's not an easy passage, okay? But I think that when we talk about four horses with regard to these four chariots at the beginning here, that we have something that is reminiscent back to the first chapter. Because back in the first chapter, remember, we had four horses. Now the colors aren't exactly the same, but they're very close, okay? And here we have chariots. In there, it was a valley. And here we have two mountains of brass out from which these four chariots come. What were the chariots, what were the horses early on in the vision? What did we say they were? They were the people of God cared for in that little enclave there in the bottom of the valley by the cool river, right, and the myrtle trees. And they were those horses that were really going to speak of the readiness of the people of God to expand throughout the world. We are still talking about the days of Messiah here. I believe that these two passages speak of the same event, the coming of Messiah and the spread of the kingdom of God throughout the world. Okay, so that's what we had before, right? That's what we have in chapter 4. We have the spread of the kingdom of God throughout the world. It's what we had in chapter 5, with the exception of this one needs to go to Shinar because it's the anti-church. Right? And now here in chapter 6, we have these mountains of brass. And the mountains of brass stand for that eternally impregnable establishment that God has established. Mountains in Scripture are often the pictures of cities or churches. Okay? So you have two mountains. Some commentators have been reluctant to say this is like Mount Zion and the Mount of Olives. Right? I don't have any difficulty saying that, I don't think. I think that this is the advancement of the church. And so out from what would be the establishment, out from the church, this impregnable establishment goes forth, notice, not just horses this time, but horses and chariots. And this is a picture, in my mind, of the church militant. Now, some are going to say these are emperors that go out, and they're going to tie that to the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6. I don't mind tying them to the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation 6, but I have a different view of that. I believe that this is picturesque of the gospel going forth. Okay, and sometimes when the gospel goes forth, it goes forth on a white horse, that is, in victory and conquering. Right? Remember that first horse? That white horse in Revelation 6, he went forth conquering and to conquer. Sometimes when the gospel goes forth, it goes forth and it meets with much persecution and death. The black horse, the red horse, violence and bloodshed, and the grizzled and bay horse, maybe a combination of all of them rolled into one. That sometimes it's going to be a mixed going forth. And it is interesting that it is to the bay horse that it said, you go forth throughout all the earth, right? Okay, so then the angel said, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So they go from the Lord. He is represented in the mountains of brass. And from him they go forth into all the world. This is the kingdom, I believe, of Messiah. And he went forth and sought that they might walk to and fro. That's verse 7. And he said, get you hence and walk to and fro through the earth. No longer are we staying in the valley. No longer are we down there by the myrtle trees. Now you are to go throughout all the world. Why? Because you've come back from the captivity of that north country. My spirit is quieted in the north country, the Lord says. So you're not under that judgment any longer. Then he cried upon me and spake, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. This may be a reference to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, right? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those who went forth of the prophets of God to the north country. And they preached the gospel there, and they quieted his spirit. That is, they quieted his judgment toward the north country, such that although Babylon is brought down by the Medes, when Christ is born, what happens? They send emissaries to meet the newborn king. So that's the first half of the chapter, the first vision, 1 through 8. Then in verse 9, we get another dose of the kingdom of Messiah and its traversing throughout the world and how that's going to take place. So there are those that come from the captivity. They were probably sent by those who were still in Babylon to see how things were going in Jerusalem. If it's hospitable, if it's habitable, if we can come back and set up our houses again there. And so these men come. And notice what it says, that they are to take from them gold and silver and make crowns. Now, when you make a crown, whose head does it go on? It goes on the king's head, right? That's right. A crown goes on the king's head. Notice what happens here. Make two crowns and put them both on the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. This should jar us. Wait a minute. We're not putting a mitre, a turban, on the head of the high priest. We're putting two crowns on the head of the high priest. What is that about? Why would we do that? Now notice what the prophet says. Put them on the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man who is the branch. In other words, he stands as a representative. There's going to be two crowns on his head. Zechariah is to look him in the eyes, hold out his hand to him and say, behold the man who is the branch. Well, Joshua's not the branch, but he stands for one who is the branch. Right? And we know who the branch is. We've heard about him before. Isaiah spoke of him. Jeremiah spoke of him. And now we've already seen him before in the prophecy of Zechariah. Notice, behold the man who is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Didn't we hear back two chapters ago that Zerubbabel was going to build the temple? What are we talking about here? Why is this a contradiction here? Well, it's not really a contradiction. Who was Zerubbabel? Remember, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord to Zerubbabel. You're going to build the temple of the Lord. That is, as a king, you're going to provide all those things like David and Solomon did for the building of the temple. And then who's it going to be built under? Who's going to direct that work? Well, the high priest is going to direct that work. He's going to direct Bezalel and Aholiab and other men like him in the days of Solomon to build the temple of the Lord. Zerubbabel is going to play his part as the king, and Joshua is going to play his part as the high priest. But notice that in the branch, these two crowns are on one man's head. They're on Christ's head. He is a king that sits upon his throne and a priest that sits upon his throne, and he will build the temple of the Lord. And there's no other way to understand that. While we may have some questions as to what's going on in the first vision, the second vision is indeed clear as the bright summer sun. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord and shall bear the glory. Listen, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, that is as a king, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, a high priest, and the council of peace shall be between those two offices. And the crowns shall be to Helam and to Tobijah and to Jediah and to Hen the son of Zephaniah for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. That is, take those crowns and keep them in the temple that you build in this day in testimony to the branch that will come who will wear both those crowns himself. And then finally, they that are afar off shall come and build in the temple. Now we're looking to the temple that Christ builds, because it will be made up of Jews and Gentiles. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And then finally, notice, this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. There are means by which these things take place, right? Well, so then, in this second vision, we have a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ that is set forth as the branch. We speak of his kingly office, that is his right to rule in the church and to build it. And then we speak of his high priest's office, that is as mediator and priest of his people, as the sacrifice and sacrificer for his people. And it is through those offices that the Lord Jesus Christ will indeed build his church. You say, well, doesn't Christ have three offices? Yes, but in this illustration, remember, the priest's lips should keep knowledge and they should seek the law of the Lord at his mouth. And so in this concept of high priest and king, the Lord Jesus Christ brings all three of his offices together as the ruler, the teacher, and the mediator for his people. So that's Zechariah chapter 6. Let's stay.